Thank you. this morning. And if you are visiting for the first time, we'd love to just give you, our ushers are standing ready, they've got a visitor pack they'd like to hand to you, and right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can welcome you this morning? God bless you. You won't hear from him this morning, but he always preaches a very faith-filled, encouraging message. So we put that in, hoping it'll be a blessing to you. And then also there's a white card. If you just take a moment, fill it out, and we pass an offering bag by in our service. Just drop that card in, and the pastor would love to call you and just find out how you're doing the service and see if we can be of any help to you in any way. So thank you for doing that. Welcome to those that are watching online on Facebook Live. We're so glad you joined us. You can receive a blessing right where you are. There's no distance. Amen. God can move right where you're sitting, right in your home, although I'd always rather be here. First choice is to be here. Well, family, as we have a guest here today, this is the time in the service we're going to receive our church offering. And it's an opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. Don't you love that?
Yes.
Amen. Yes. And as you prepare yourself, there are envelopes on the seat where you are, but I'd like to just read a couple of scriptures. We don't give out of religious duty. We don't give because somebody manipulates us. We give simply in response to the word of God and in response to what God has done for us. Amen. And just reading in Ecclesiastes, the writer says this. He says, but as long as I looked at everything I'd worked so hard to accomplish, it was also so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anyway. I came to hate life because everything done here under the sun is so troubling. Everything is meaningless, like chasing the wind. Now, that's not your scripture you put on your fridge, right? That's not like one they make into magnets, because it's kind of like a little bit of despair right there. But you know the feeling that he's got. You know the rat race. You know, I get up and I do this, and the next day I get up and do it. And what's the point of the whole thing sometimes, right? But then Paul has a totally different attitude. In 2 Corinthians, we read this. He says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary. How many of you know that what we see right now, it is temporary? It feels like it's never going to change, but we are passing into eternity. He says, but what is unseen is eternal. And so Paul said the way that he found greater purpose in life, the writer of Ecclesiastes was feeling, despair in that things were just going on and what's the point of it all. But Paul says he found purpose in his life by looking at eternal things.
Yeah.
And the one way that we do that is by giving. Because, you know, I don't know if you know this, but you can't take it with you. We're going to leave it all behind. We can spend all our life accumulating, but at the end of the day, like Pastor Steve likes to say, he's never done a funeral where the coffin had a U-Haul behind it. Right? You leave it all behind. Amen? We've got to remember that. You cannot take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. I love that. The Bible says in Leviticus 27, verse 30, it says a tithe, or it's an old-fashioned word for a tenth, of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So he says that that tenth belongs to him. And then we give offerings over and above from what's left over, from the 90%. And what the thing that I like to ask myself is, what can I do with what I'm left with that 90%, to leverage the most influence for eternity? If I'm wanting to make a difference, if I'm wanting to make a change, if I'm wanting to have affect people's lives, what can I do with what I have? And when we give to God's kingdom, we are making opportunities for people to come to know Christ. Every time you see somebody, when you've given, and when you see somebody raise their heart and their hand and give their heart to Christ, you have a part in that. It is partly because of what you've given. Amen?
Yeah.
We see people's lives restored. We see marriages healed. And Solomon realized that all this stuff was going to stay behind, and how futile to just work your whole life for these things that are passing away. So I encourage you, I'm encouraging myself today, to be more eternally minded.
Yes.
Thinking about laying up treasure in heaven.
Amen.
When we give, we are laying up for eternity. We are changing lives for eternity. Amen?
Yeah.
Be generous with your lives. One last verse from Psalm 112:9. It says, "They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever, and they will have influence and honor." You know, family, we are set right now as a church to make a huge impact on this community in which we live. God has been setting this thing up for us. He's gone ahead of us and just surprised us with the things that He's been providing for us. And we are set to make a huge impact in this community. We are going to see many, many thousands of lives change for eternity. And we appreciate every time you give, you're giving to eternal things. Amen?
Amen.
So if you prepare yourself, Pastor Steve.
Yes. Good morning again.
Good morning.
You know, I just want to give you an update of where we stand. Of course, as you'll kind of refer to it, we're about to step into a new chapter in the life of our church, and a new season, and it's an exciting season. I believe we're about to step into a season of great growth.
Yes, amen.
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 And we are excited about the fact that we are moving into a new building. And can we get a picture of the building up? Our building is on Indian Town Road. There's the building. Girl Scout sign is now gone because they've moved out. And we will have our permit this week to start demolition. We will start taking walls out. This week we'll have our permit to start the demolition. And it's going to be exciting to see things take shape, don't you think? So far... Let me let you know where we're at so far. We have paid 6 months of the mortgage in advance. We have paid for all the zoning and the lawyers, and we have paid the architect, and we have the money to do the closing, which will be happening this week. It was a little hiccup with the condo association. There's a condo association that had to give their approval. And they had some things that, for the first time ever, they were putting some conditions on us. They'd never given a conditional approval before, except when it came to us. And they wanted us not to have services past 1 o'clock on a Sunday. They wanted us not to have more than 5 staff. They wanted us not to have a feeding scheme. They wanted me to promise I'd never counsel any drug addicts. They had all these things of what they were putting on us. Yes. And so, but here's what's great. The Lord, I've kind of been sitting back and watched God do this. Because God brought us the building. God has been there every step of the way. So we went into a meeting last week with our attorney, with Joe, the owner of the building, Joe Siegel's attorney, and with the condo association's attorney. There was a lot of attorneys in the room. And I just sat back and said nothing, and watched Joe Siegel fight on our behalf. I watched Joe Siegel fighting on my behalf, and I'm sitting there with a smile on my face. They must have wondered, what is wrong with this guy? He's smiling because Joe's fighting for us. Because he's on that association. He's a member of the board. And he said, "I remember when you were almost bankrupt, and I came in here, and I helped you, and I brought you out of bankruptcy, and now, and boy, he was bang, bang, bang." We walked out of that meeting, and they turned around and everything, and they said, "We'll do whatever you want." So that delayed us a little bit, but they've now given us the approval. We should be closing this week. So I want to thank everyone who's given. You know, the closing cost is about $40,000. We put down $75,000 in deposits. The architect $12,000. The zoning $14,000. I mean, I can go on and on and on here. It adds up, believe me. But thank God, the Lord has provided every step, and thank God for you who have given and who have been faithful. Thank you. Now the end is in sight, And this is offering time, and I just want to quickly read one scripture. Jill said you won't hear from me today, but she was wrong about that, because you're going to hear a little bit. But here in Exodus chapter 36, this is when the Lord told Moses to build him a tabernacle, which is a tent. And that was where the glory of God, the presence of God, would be in that tabernacle. And the people started bringing offerings. They started bringing of their jewelry for the to build the tabernacle. And then in chapter 36 it says that Moses called Moses called, I don't know, Bezalel, Basil, whatever, and Eliab, and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. And it says that they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Say, every morning.
Every morning.
Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came in from the workers he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, and they said, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the workers the Lord commanded us to do. The people bring much more than enough. The people bring much more than enough. So Moses gave a commandment, and he caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, too much.
Amen.
Now, I love that. They were building the tabernacle for God, and the people, every morning, the people whose hearts were stirred came, and they were bringing every day, until finally, they said, listen, just stop. We've got more than we need. Now, I can promise you. I'm going to say that, Rick. I was going to say that should that ever come to the place where we have more than we need, I promise you, I will come and say, folks, please, no more giving to the new building. We don't know what to do with all the funds we have. We've got more than enough.
Amen.
However, we're not there right now. We're not there right now. We're trusting the Lord. We need probably, the contract is coming at about $150,000 to do all the renovations, but I think we're going to shave that down because we've got a lot of people going to be helping us, and I know all the ACs being done at a special price. And so I believe we're going to shave that down to about $120,000. So we're trusting God over the next few months to buy $120,000, and guess where that funds are going to come from?
Us.
I've already asked the mafia. They're not interested. I contacted the Colombian cartels, and they're not interested. Then how many of you know it's God's people that are going to fund God's house? And let me tell you something. It's something to get excited about. Because you only get this opportunity only every now and then. I mean, we won't be building another building for a number of years. I'm sure sometime we will. But this is an opportunity to get in, say, I was there, and I contributed to the house of God. It's a privilege. You need to see it as an opportunity and a privilege, because how many of you know God's going to provide the funds for his house?
Yes.
I want to be one of those through whom those funds flow. How about you? God's looking for somebody. Someone who he's looking for someone with a heart says, I want to give, I want to support the house of God. He's looking for people that he can bless, that he can trust, that'll do what he wants done with those funds.
Amen.
Amen. So it's an opportunity to be blessed, because God's looking for someone to give funds to. Unexpectedly, a surprise, out of the blue, funds come your way. Oh, I wonder why. God's providing so you can give to his house. Amen.
Amen.
So once again, I want to thank you for everyone who has given, everyone who's been so faithful and so generous. We thank God for you. And I want you to know, because you are helping to build God's house, I can tell you right now, God will build your house.
Amen.
God will build your house.
Amen.
Amen. And so thank you once again. Believe with us. Be praying with us over the next few months, because now we've got to start paying deposits. You know, we're getting contractors, and Chris Birch, who's a member of our church, is the general contractor. He's overseeing the project because he's doing it for minimum cost. He's not doing it to make a profit. He's doing it to help us. So we're going to be using subcontractors and doing everything for the best possible price. But, you know, you have to start putting deposits down. So right now is the time the Lord speaks to you, and I know he's going to. please be as prompt as you can, because we want to get this thing done. We want to get in our building, don't we?
Yes.
Amen. So I'm going to ask the ushers to, is everybody ready? Did the ushers already, they didn't pass by, right? Because I'm expecting some folks would change the envelope. I was going to give that, but now I've changed this. Now I'm going to add a couple of zeros to it. So is everyone ready to give this morning?
Yes.
Hold your tithe, your offering in your hand. I'm going to pray right now. I'm going to believe God for financial miracles in your life. Amen? Financial miracles. 2 weeks ago, was it maybe 3 weeks ago, we were at Connect Group. We were at Chris Birch's house, the general contractor. We were at his house. And my sister, Angie, and her husband, Dennis, were at the group. And they, you know, they my mother applied for them to sponsor them to become, to immigrate here 14 years ago. 14 years ago. I was born in the US, so I didn't have any, you know, I had no problem. But my sister was born in London. And so it took 14 years for her to get immigration to. And finally, then in July, last July, they had a cash offer, a cash buyer on their house. And so the person wanted to move in by September, so Dennis, my brother-in-law, quit his job, but they thought they'd be coming in September. Then there were problems, there were complications, the money never came through, went on for months and months and months, until eventually December comes, the sale still hasn't come through, and they had to be here by December 16th, or they'd lose their immigration status. So they said, look, we're just going to leave, and even if you have to rent the house, but we're going. And they got on a plane, and they packed the house up, and they left an empty house and came over here in faith. So we were at Connect Group like 3 weeks ago, and I said to my sister, we've all prayed about the house, and I spoke out and I said, you know what, your house is going to sell, the cash buyer is going to come through, and by the time the money comes through, the exchange rate is going to go up, and you're going to end up coming out with more money than you would have if it had sold in July. Remember saying that? So within the week, before the week was out, the money came through. They'd got it into their account, and the British pound had gone up in value, so it meant they got an extra $20,000. Now, I am believing God for those kind of miracles for you. When I say to you, how many of you believe in God for a financial miracle, I'm talking about things like that. Amen. So I want you to hold that in your hand right now, and we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. Say this, say, Father, I thank you that because I'm a tither, because I'm a giver, the windows of heaven are open over my life. And I thank you, Lord, for pouring blessing upon me. I thank you, Lord, for prospering me. I thank you for financial miracles in my life. I thank you, Lord, that blessings are chasing after me everywhere I go. Your favor surrounds me. I am blessed, coming in, going out, in the city, in the field, wherever I am. Blessings are chasing me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I believe in for blessings chasing you down. Thank you, ushers. You can you may go ahead and receive the offering today. And I want to just, we are so glad to have one of our favorite guests, and I mean that sincerely, one of our favorite guests, Prophet Ed Child, is with us today, and we have known him for, we've known him for quite a few years, about 25, probably about 25 years I've known you. I know you're skinny, I know you're fat. You're skinny right now. Hey, got off the plane, I hardly recognized him. Lost 60 pounds.
Wow.
I don't. You said much worse things to me. We love Prophet Ed Trout. He has an amazing ministry. I'm always amazed to watch how the Lord uses him, the gift that God has given him. He's a prophet. And so, well, very often when he meets someone or he sees someone, very often the Lord will put a word in his mouth for that person. Or sometimes the Lord will show him something, and then he'll tell you what God is showing him. Now the Bible talks about the gift of prophecy. The Bible talks about the office of a prophet. And Ed Trout stands in the office of a prophet. God has anointed him where he prophesies over people and tells them things are going to happen in the future with such accuracy, more than I've ever seen anyone else in my life. And so we're very glad to have our dear friend. I want you to welcome with you Prophet Ed Trout today. Very strong.